Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary. Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This podcast is a Roifield Brown production. Find others on iTunes.
All right. Yeah, Anna.
This is Dumpty Dum, sponsored by managers.
Can you do it?
Dum-dee-dum-dee-dum-dee-dum.
This is Dumpty Dum, the show about the reality docudrama drama that are centered on Ambridge in the heart of the Midlands, on the beautifully coiffured hairpiece that is, I should wish, bloody bald as a coot me, hairpiece that is Roifield Brown. And with me, I have the tatty wig, who is
Kerry Warbis.
And we are joined by the side parting dupe that goes by the name of
Peter Fickling.
And the last part of this week's Blue Tablet, folks, is you. Now, this week's Dumpty Dum comes from Ali's son, Jelly P, who's aged 5. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't know what melody mum was trying to teach to son there, but it wasn't, you know, it was a Dumpty Dum of sorts, but it wasn't, strictly speaking, following the melody of Barwick Green, now, was it?
It wasn't, but I don't care. It was great. I loved it.
It was very endearing. So keep it up, Ali and son. You'll be joining us again next week. But after next week, Kerry, we need new, fresh Dumpty Dums. So if somebody would like to help us out, how can that be done?
If you would like to sing us a Dumpty Dum or leave us a plot prediction, then call us on 0203 031 3105. Leave us a message on SpeakPipe or send a text message starting with Dum to 077 862 00690.
Now, folks, we've got some breaking Dumpty Dum news. There's going to be a Dumpty Dum live on Sunday, the 27th of September at 2 p.m. at King's Place. So that's in London, which is 90 York Way. So it's just up from King's Cross. And joining us will be Sonny Ormond, Dr. Cara Courage, Dr. Nicola Headlam of the Academic Archers, and Pete Fickling and the wonderful Auntie Kerry Warburton. Now, tickets can be bought at www.kingsplace.co.uk. You don't need the three W's, just kingsplace.co.uk. They go on sale like today. So go get them. Now, again, it's going to be basically Dumpty Dum doing a bit of a mashup with the Academic Archers. And Pete has said that he's going to come with his boxing gloves on. Now, I don't know why. Now, Pete, what is it? What is the beef that you have with our good friends at the Academic Archers?
Oh, this is outrageous. This is a massive stitch-up. It's more of a reflection of my grotesque insecurities and perhaps my kind of piglety insecurities. And I look forward to having them broken down and being lifted up on the thermals of their giant intellects. Sorry. I mean, you know, that's all I can say.
Folks, Pete has no beef at all with the Academic Archers. It's going to be fun.
Beef with you now.
Absolutely. Great way to start the show. Please folks, come and join us. Now, I know the elephant in the room is it safe? Oh my goodness, what's going on? Now, the good people down at King's Place told us that they reduced the capacity of the room from 300 down to one. So it's two thirds going to be empty for social distancing, etc. And this is the London Podcast Festival. They did ask us to come along and do this in May. Then, of course, it was cancelled. Now, if you bought a ticket in May, your ticket is still valid for this. But if there's any questions, please don't email us. Just go straight to King's Place and they will set you all straight and stuff. It's the 27th, Sunday the 27th of September, 2 p.m. You get an hour and a half of dum-de-dum in your face with Sunny, who's our new best friend of the show, the Dr. Cara and Dr. Nicola Headlam of the Academy Archers, Auntie Kerry Warburton, and miserable Pete Fickling and myself. You know, we'll all be there. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be like a podcast, but with visuals in front of you.
So we'd like to say thanks as ever to our new social media supremos, Cosmo for his podcast roundups, to Mike Hatton for his character counts, Shambridge for her voices, and to Lucy V. Freeman.
Oh, smashing. On this week's episode, we hear views from Jen from Southampton, Ambridge Pony Club, and from Jack. Jack is back. But first, it's our burning issue of the week. This week's hot topic is the monologues. Will we miss them when they're gone? Now, which one of you pair nominated this as a potential topic to talk about?
It was our lovely Peter, who's not miserable at all.
Ficklin, the floor is yours then, sir.
We all agreed that, on WhatsApp, that this week's been an absolute cracker. It's one, you know, and maybe it is after sort of crawling.
Did we all agree that?
Well, the people that mattered agreed. So Kerry and I were in total agreement. It was an absolute cracker. And after crawling through the desert that has been, you know, some of the early to mid monologues, I feel they sort of broke into a bigger and more kind of confident stride. And then now obviously they're gently sort of reintroducing using the magic technologies and actually in-person sort of recordings, some of the dialogues. You can see how if we completely lost the monologues, it would be to the detriment of the show in general. Yeah, I just thought it was worth discussing whether we do want to retain them, because one of the real benefits, and I know we have talked about this before, is you do get that sort of sense of the inner character where they're truly sitting. It's not just kind of it's not just interpreted. You get it delivered straight to you.
Yeah, I agree completely, because of having dialogue, conversation, and the inner thoughts has really, really worked this week in particular. I was listening to an Agatha Christie series today on Radio 4, and they were doing it in that as well. And it added another dimension to the character. You know, you could hear her having a conversation and it was almost overlapping in that, where her thoughts were being heard by us, the audience, while she was talking to another person. So I do think we would benefit from leaving a bit of monologue in. I mean, I never thought I would say this. But here I am.
Doesn't this then edit us out as the listeners in terms of us using our imagination to try and interpret a scene, to interpret a character's motivation?
Royfield, you mentioned a couple of times about the famous Doc Cotton episode in EastEnders, and you know, how that was a sort of a seminal and sort of epoch defining, if that's not too grand a way of putting it, part of the EastEnders kind of folklore. And I think this the same thing, you'd want to use it sparingly. It would be a useful device for, you know, very sort of so for instance, Charlie in the Culvert, and that would have been a great opportunity to hear what, you know, his desperation, him scared, is he going to be found, his thoughts, losing Adam, you know, all of those kind of terrible things racing through his mind at that moment. Maybe that would have been a good opportunity to use a monologue, not just for Susan sort of standing behind the counter wondering how many bars of chocolate she's going to sell.
And sort of Russ, I would have liked to have heard some of his inner thoughts whilst he was being a twat.
I disagree with the pair of you on this. I really want them dispensed with when all of the actors are back at the mailbox, which is kind of now, but we just don't have access to those shows yet. I find, whilst I found last week to be the best week of the monologues. It, for me, it was the best weeks of the monologues because there weren't that many monologues in it. You know, but for me, there is a pacing change. There is an intellectual gear change that has to happen, which I actually find uncomfortable. I hesitate to say this, that I'd rather it just be pure monologues, which I don't like, or just pure regular drama.
But Royfield, what about Linda and her thoughts this week?
And Ed.
Come on, you know.
Yeah, it was so much more powerful to hear Robert and Linda battling with their problems. You know, you're given a glimpse into their fears, you're given a glimpse into their sort of concerns for each other, and then you also see how it plays out, and
how did we before understand conflict, worry, anxiety between characters before? We did it through dialogue.
They're all understood before, but this is a slightly different element. It's not going to sort of fill in every single gap and crevice, and we'll never have to even think for a moment whilst we're listening. It just gives a slightly different added dimension, I think.
Whilst in part I concede that listening to Linda talk about wanting to feel whole again, and part of her self being physically whole again, mm-hmm. is that her husband still finds her attractive and desirable and wants to touch her, wants to make love to her. And yes, I found that moving. But for me, that was moving because of the subject matter as opposed to the delivery mechanism of the message. And we all have sympathy for Linda, the character, let alone what she's gone through. And then the fact that Robert is trying to be careful. And then we discover that potentially has performance issues. But putting that to one side.
I actually thought of the topic of the week on one of my multiple listens when it was Ed's part of it, because I really enjoyed, I was actually in the car to go and pick up my wife. And I was, so I had a chance to listen to them all in a row, uninterrupted. And it was actually when Ed was thinking about whether he should be the guardian angel or not. And I was really appreciating that sort of inside track on how he felt about dealing with Alice.
Because otherwise you would have just had a conversation with Emma about what to do, and that would have been just a bit more predictable, wouldn't it?
And infected by all of Emma's prejudices, which there was referred to in all of the chat, let's call it a chat, the chat with Alice. You know, and you heard Ed reconciling with who he could talk to about it. I might be getting some of this slightly wrong, but basically, how am I going to deal with this? Can I talk to Emma about it? Mm-hmm. No, I can't talk to Brian. Chris won't thank me for it.
You know what it is for me? It's too on the nose. He said, oh, well, there was that time. Well, you know, I went off the rails. You wouldn't have had that thought in that way internally. However, the way that the Archers has done this before in the past, he would have maybe gone to his mum, Clary, and says, Mum, I think Alice is drinking. And then Clary would have said, don't be quick to judge. Remember the time when you went off the rails, etc. For me, it's too on the nose. And this is the reason why I've struggled really with the monologues, is because it's not allowing us to colour in and to paint the most vivid picture. And there is no room for interpretation. And for me, I just found that so disconcerting.
I think you're being quite sort of fundamentalist, Royfield, if that's not too strong a word. You know, maybe Kerry and I are being kind of like Bernie Sanders. Maybe we're like sort of Barack Obama in the middle, and then Bernie Sanders is off to one end. You're being a bit Mike Pence about the whole thing.
What?
I mean, we're not sort of, we're not sort of. I don't think any of us are kind of yearning for the monologues to stick around, sort of, you know, in the current format, but just to be there as a useful tool, just to sort of for certain scenes, just to keep it around as I said, a tool, something to be deployed when necessary. We need a narrator, and they go, and now inside David's head. And then we go into David's head, and then we go a bit, and now we're out of David's head. And then we
Jethro
go, and
off to Bridge Farm. Yeah. The omnibuses used to start with that up until the 80s, the early 80s. There was a narrator.
Oh, but never a new thing.
I don't know. I've chewed up a lot of airtime on this because I fundamentally disagree with the premise, but I'm prepared to be outvoted. This is a democracy. So why don't you, Pear, have one last go to convince me that monologues would be a great addition to the arsenal that the writers can use going forward?
I'm going to use my time to just admit that I was so excited about the fact I was going to call Royfield Mike Pence, I got a bit confused and went all over the place. I knew where I was going. I knew I was going to call Royfield Mike Pence, and I knew it would absolutely rock his world.
So I'm an impotent sidekick to an orange buffoon.
There's no need to talk about Kerry like that. My God, that's absolutely outrageous.
Oh, Christ. Yeah. I think your premise was a bit skewed, Royfield. You know, you've misunderstood. It's just, like Peter was saying, it's just a useful tool to be used now and again, not to be how it was in this week's episode.
Mm, right. And on that note, I defer to the pair of you. I respectfully disagree, but I'll go, whatevs, right?
Okay.
Because the writers will do what the writer's going to do, and we'll have a bit of this.
Hello, Ambridge 3962.
Back. He's returned. It's our Jack.
Hello to the Dum-de-Dum community. It's Jack here. Thank you and well done to Sunny Ullman for coming on the show. It's great to have such dedication from an actor from The Archers, and the way that lots of the actors and Sunny Ullman are supporting Dum-de-Dum. It's great that the programme gets such great support. I thoroughly enjoyed and thought it was very clever, the plot diversion or direction change the other week when we thought that Balin was going to have to let Emma go, and Emma at the last minute managed to persuade Balin to try something new. That's very clever of the script writers. I really like it when they are able to do that. The Flower and Produce show on YouTube, I haven't managed to listen to it yet. I haven't got the facilities to actually join in with it live, but that's such a great idea. And if we can have more participation from people on Dumpty Dum to come up with ideas of having virtual shows and almost copy some of the things that they do on The Archers, that would be great, in real life or virtually for that matter. It seems to be that the plot lines are livening up, as there seems to be a bit more activity on the email list that I'm on. It'd be great if we could just have a little bit more dialogue than we're getting, although I'm grateful for what we've got already, but a little bit more dialogue would be great. Well, that's about it for now, and speak to you all soon. Goodbye for now.
Jack is back. Yeah, Sunny was brilliant, wasn't she, last week? Loved her being on. And it is so nice that she does give time to our silly old podcast. And she was on the Flower and Produce briefly, wasn't she?
She was.
Yeah, and he enjoyed Emma's the twist of fate with Emma coming up with her orchard idea at the last moment, so saving her job.
I was grateful not to be on last week's show because I was absolutely incandescent with rage. Listening to The Archers the week before, I was so angry with how Emma was getting treated, and listening to Natasha do her kind of inner monologue about, you know, like all her genius ideas, you know, and we can convert the whole thing into like a Royal Albert Hall, and then there'll be, you know, lunar landings on the back porch. It was just, it was unbearable. Apologies to anyone with any Welsh heritage. By the way,
she was actually evil last week, wasn't she? Awful, Natasha. Yeah. And then sort of went, my intuition is just so off. I just don't get it. Yeah.
And it still hasn't. I mean, that hasn't all played out yet, has it? So my suspicion was that Natasha's instinct to oversell it was actually going to scupper the whole thing. But then you got a bit of information from Ed, didn't you, saying, you know, Emma's happy, she's kept the job, which suggests it all went fine.
Our Jack mentioned the Flower and Produce show, which he hasn't yet accessed, But it has been really good fun. I was watching it this afternoon.
I need to watch it. So, what, yeah. Royfield, what are your credentials to judge vegetables and also what are your criteria?
Well, my credentials stretch to 51 years of eating vegetables and the fact they're not strangers to me, Peter.
Okay.
And generally, I have a perception as to what they should look like. So if they come bigger or more misshapen than what I'm expecting, I go, oh, that is something to note. Those are my vegetable credentials. Do you need any more than that, sir?
No, that answers my question. Thank you.
But I think where I really came into my own, actually, was with the more creative categories.
Yeah.
So I did paper plates. And yes, I did go to art school. So I did ask for paper plates. And I think I nailed it in terms of picking the winner.
You did. Yeah. People will have to tune in to find out. Go to YouTube, look up Dumpty Dum, Flower and Produce. There it is. It's kind of a beautiful, chaotic shambles, isn't it?
And did you, I didn't get the full information, but I understand you were in costume, Royfield. So were you in
costume.
Costume, were you in art costume?
You mean I put on my best jacket and shirt?
Well, I suddenly thought you might be in full sort of dressed like Lamal, and it was like, you know, back in your art school days.
That's deep right cut for our younger listeners. Lamal. You know what, Peter? I'm too shy. Hush, hush, to continue with this line of thinking. And it was great to have so many people on Zoom and also on the Facebook and on the YouTubes watching that. And I think it's something which should be done on an annual basis. So I concur with you, Jack. We should do it again. However, I'm not so sure about transposing everything from Ambridge onto the Zooms, because I've got no business with the panto. Anybody that wants to do a panto and then to put that on and have people watch it, count me out on every level. I just, like, you know, that's a bridge too far for me.
I can imagine Kerry and I having a lot of fun doing the panto.
Nothing's
just me then. All
yes,
right,
Peter can. Well, Peter, I think you're on your own with this one, mate.
I'm fine. Done.
One man show. A monologue.
I'm going to have to be behind myself.
Hey, yeah. Well done. I tell you what, this person massively helped out doing the Ambridge Flower and Produce Show. It's Ambridge Pony Club.
Greetings, Royfield, and everybody at Dumpty Dum. Just calling in to say a big thank you to everybody who entered the Flower and Produce Show. The entries were absolutely fantastic. You're such a talented bunch, and you gave so much fun and so many smiles to so many people. I think in the current times when we're all having it so hard, it's lovely to be able to consider something as silly as an online cooking show and worry about your jam and your marmalade and your chutney. Royfield, Quentin and the gang did such a great job covering it, made it really fun and exciting for everybody. And thank you so much to the organisers, especially Lucy, for getting this thing going. Here's hoping that we'll all be doing it in person, live, at a village hall next year. That would be absolutely lovely. Also calling in, I was chatting to Royfield earlier and he was saying he couldn't remember why the Grundys had gone bust. What happened was their herd got a disease called bovine viral diarrhoea. It is one of those things where if they were the mega dairy, they might want to eliminate it from their herd, purchase expensive vaccines and really go for high productivity by getting rid of the disease. However, in a low quality, low productive herd like Eddie's, the more cost effective strategy would have been just to let it run through the herd and do the Boris Johnson herd immunity approach, which has the advantage of being free. I've never really forgiven Alistair for conning them into buying the expensive vaccine off him, and I hold him directly responsible for the bankruptcy of the Grundys. Another time when I've got more time on SpeakPipe, I will call in to give a full analysis of why both Alistair and Anisha are completely incompetent vets. So thank you again to everybody involved in the Flower and Produce, and best wishes to all out there in the Dumpty Dum world. Stay safe.
Yay.
Oh, I'd love to hear that.
Yes, so would I.
Royfield, I know you like to kick me off a show every now and again, but please can I be involved in that one? I would absolutely love to hear some proper professional, you know, inside knowledge.
It's got to be said, I was stunned. Stunned I was yesterday. Jen is a big time fan of the show. She wrote a lot of the links which we actually used for the Flower and Produce show. And Jen didn't deliberately write them as such. She just says, Royfield, here are the awards and stuff. Here's some information on the people who've entered, etc. And then I lifted that and put that into the script. So really to thank her for the fact that I spent, I don't know, the best part of Friday trying to put the whole thing together. I said, look, we really should just have a natter. So after me saying, oh, you know, doffing my cap and saying thank you, thank you, thank you. And then I'd completely forgotten that Jen was actually a vet. I knew she had something to do with horses. And she just let rip on Alistair Lloyd. She said, he's crap. And I said, I beg your pardon. She said, he's a terrible vet, Royfield. I said, I beg your pardon. She said, and she just let him have it with both barrels. And I said, you're going to have to call her in or that in. You know, she said.
And donation.
She tweets yes. about it. She's an excellent tweeter. If you don't follow her already on Twitter,
can you do a kind of a fresh tweet after the show, Kerry, when you're being to your book club in the cab?
Yes, I will. No, she's wonderful. But again, you think, why haven't they checked everything out with some advisor or other, or get her in to advise them?
And also Jakob, I want to know, what does she think about Jakob? Does he pass muster? I imagine he does.
Well, I tell you, the one thing she did confirm is, when, do you remember when Jakob came and he was...
Oh, yes.
Peter.
Was that during the online yoga?
Kerry, right. When Jakob came into the show, Alistair wasn't aware of him at all. One thing that Jen said, she says, being a vet is such a small network, it's a small community. He said, there's absolutely no way that somebody who's working in the same county, who's a vet, right, that Alistair wouldn't have known him very well, or at least by reputation. So it was impossible. She said, it's such a small industry. Mm. You know, so that just didn't ring true at all. So in terms of that, yes, they need more veterinary kind of like consultants and whatever. However, I quite like the idea of Alistair actually not being that good and actually being responsible for the Grundys going bankrupt, but other vets kind of thinking that. I think that's actually quite a great little storyline, you know.
Kerry and I were talking on the phone last week, and The Simpsons was on.
Yes,
Kerry and I talk quite a lot.
Okay, do you know the pair of you, do you actually know that if you go on to WhatsApp, right, you can do group calls, you can include a third person onto your calls?
We did it once.
Yeah, there's your feedback, Royfield. I did it once. Royfield, communicating with you, it's like communicating with a wishing well. It's just you throw things into it and nothing comes back.
Do you know, I actually have control of the buttons on this podcast. Jesus Christ. I invite you on and you just kick me around, treat me like a rag doll and just exclude me from all of the fun.
We don't exclude you. Yeah, we'd love you to reply to some of our messages.
Are we still doing it this week? Is it still at 4:30?
Silence for 10 days.
So, Kerry and I were communicating on a WhatsApp call, a one-to-one WhatsApp call, and there was The Simpsons on in the background, and I was saying about how I was shocked to find out that Homer had BO, because I always projected my kindest and most kind of pleasant thoughts onto him, so I couldn't believe it. And I think it's the same thing, isn't it? I like Alistair. I am sensing now, I'm already picking up the fact that Kerry probably doesn't. But I do.
I do, because I feel sorry for him, because he's with was with Sheila.
Oh my God,
anyway, carry on. Yeah.
No, that's it. I just project the characters I like. I can't imagine them being incompetent. I don't want to think they have body odor. They only get my best possible thoughts. So yes, I always assumed he was good at his job. But now you mention it, it does make sense why everyone treats him like he's an idiot, and kind of like David's always kind of tutting at him and is constantly kind of grumpy with him.
Well, anyway, do you want my opinion?
Yes, please.
Of course, Royfield. Yes, please.
Just on the Homer having BO thing, right? Why would that be a shock? He's basically a bit of a slob. Yeah, it's like, course he would.
Well, we're back to the microphones, hearing the distance from the microphone. Kerry spotting details that I miss. You know, I'm too busy loving the characters and sort of like throwing all this, you know, positivity at them. I don't have that kind of level of scrutiny that you two do.
Well, just as an aside, because I don't want to get to the end of the show and not mention that Chadwick Boseman passed, and so many people say that he had touched them. You know, his portrayal of not only Black Panther, but also Jackie Robinson, and then also James Brown, had actually touched them personally. And being a black chap and watching Black Panther, and I did watch it four times in the cinema, four times. And to be in Oakland, which is where the director came from, but also where the original Black Panther Party came from, which just so happened to have the same name as a superhero, and to watch it on the night that that film premiered was just a magical experience, an experience which I'll never ever forget. Where did you watch it, Pete?
I haven't seen it. It's on the list of movies that I'm slightly intimidated by because of its reputation. And, you know, it takes me a long run up to watch those movies. But I was living in Oakland, I think, when it came out. And I remember some of my black friends, I remember them absolutely buzzing after seeing Black Panther and just what it meant to them and how excited they were and how going to see that movie and just having the experience that white people have had for generations of just seeing yourself represented up there in a 100% positive way must have been incredibly powerful. More power to him.
First off, the opening shot just says Oakland and the whole cinema just erupted, utterly erupted. And even now when I remember it, it like puts the goosebumps come up on me. Everybody just went, wah, like this, because we were in Oakland and it has this incredibly proud, black, positive and radical history, does Oakland.
Home of the original Black Panthers.
Absolutely. Just to be there for that was magical. But to see somebody portray, and it sounds somewhat trite to say, but it's just so true, nobility and grace, but just and a whole range of kind of like characters, was utterly wonderful. This guy just came up to me. And he just walked up to me, tapped me on the shoulder. I turned around and he says, "Are you pumped for this film?" And I went, "Yeah." And he went, "I'm pumped too." And we went for the 6 o'clock showing, Jennifer and I. And the queues were just like humongous. And all the school kids from poor neighborhoods that had charities pay for them to be bussed into watches and buy their tickets. Money. So many people gave money specifically for organizations to take kids to see a proud black nation with a proud black leader. And it really was like a little bit of a moment in time, but it can't be forgotten how brilliant his portrayal was of other black heroes. You know, Jackie Robinson, James Brown, somewhat more problematic and stuff, but in terms of his acting chops, utterly amazing. And then when you think he did half, if not three quarters of his cinematic output with having stage 3 and stage 4 cancer and nobody knew. And my history with the character T'Challa and Black Panther goes all the way back to me being about 4 or 5. I loved the Avengers as a kid, and Black Panther always was different. Not only was he black, but he was a bit stoic. And I love the portrayal of him. And because of Black Panther, and he'd been the first black superhero that I could actually remember, I kind of, little 5-6-year-old me, came up with Captain Jamaica as a superhero. And I remember drawing him out in the back of greasy chip packets and stuff. And it's no word of an exaggeration to say, but it was my first inkling of black consciousness as a little kid, 5 or 6, because it's like, oh, of course all superheroes are white, they just are. And then when I picked up my Avengers comic and there's Black Panther, I went, oh, I can be a superhero too. That is just so powerful. Him, the character of Black Panther, and at the time Muhammad Ali did so much for little kids like me, for us to realise that, yes, we had a place in the world too. So the fact that such a great actor played him with such grace, such poise, while having terminal cancer, just adds so much to the whole mythos of the whole character. So Chadwick Boseman, thank you for a portrayal of a character which means a lot to me, but not only to me, but to lots of people, black, white, and whatever colour they are throughout the world. Rest in peace, sir.
We born back!
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 We born
back! Wakanda forever!
Moving on, we have Jen from Southampton.
Hi, lovely Royfield, esteemed Kerry co-host, positive lovely beta Royfield. And Dumpty Dummers everywhere. It's Jenny from Southampton. I've checked us in a few times now, but this is my first time caller-innering. I've been summoning the courage for a while, so please be kind. I feel pretty bad not having texted in for a couple of weeks after listening to last week's Dumpty Dum, so perhaps this was a bad time to switch to caller-innering. It's Thursday now, so maybe I'll send a quick text after today's episode, just in case you need one. Feel free to chuck it if you're inundated.
Aww.
A little bit about me. I'm a PhD student struggling to finish my thesis at the moment, and I'm also an English tutor and freelance pyrography artist. I gave my Archer's vintage in my first text, but I'll do a very quick recap. I've been listening for 8 years. I think that makes me a Johnny. And my favourite characters are Linda and Lillian, so this week was a real treat for me. I found myself feeling quite envious during Tuesday's episode. I really wanted in on that wine and wig sesh. And there's been a bit of a friendship theme to this week, with Ed being the one to notice Alice's drinking and deciding to quietly watch out for her rather than just being selfishly outraged by her behaviour. I'm not saying that Alice's behaviour is okay, by the way, but girl does need help. Anyway, thanks for listening to my ramblings. Hope it was okay for a first try. Thanks for Dumpty Dum. Bye for now.
Jen, it was better than all right. It was bloody lovely, wasn't it?
If I had a voice like that, I'd never shut up.
Lovely Royfield and esteemed Kerry will always get you a curry favour here. The Linda and Lillian chat was really excellent, I thought. Did you? I found it very, very natural, really sort of... I know some people on the Twitters have said... would Linda have gone that far into her personal detail to Lillian?
Kerry, did you know, Linda, as we talked about a couple of weeks ago, you know, Linda hasn't had kids. But I think when you have some, you know, one of the things I've noticed with Charlotte, my wife, is that, you know, having a kid sort of makes your body public. You know, and Linda's been sort of, you know, out on a gurney. She's been sort of people have been poking around with her. She's nearly lost her life. I think any of those kind of normal attitudes would have been, you know, put through, you know, run through the mill and challenged, and her whole perspective would have been changed. So I'm not saying it means that anything can happen, but I think you have to go with the flow when it comes to someone, you know, recovering from something like that. And what I mean is, you know, childbirth, you know, you've had kids. Is that something that sort of rings true to you?
Yeah, definitely. And also, I think Lillian is someone who naturally, you know, she chats, she's really easy to talk to. I think she will have drawn that comfortably out of Linda too. And I think it will have been a real relief for Linda to be able to speak with someone about what she was feeling.
And she also prefaced it. She said, I need to talk to someone about this. And then and it was just a question of who. And then obviously it's going to be Lillian, the friend who sat by her side for days and days and days, was a proxy for Robert so that he could go and, you know, change his shirt and wash. So, you know, Lillian would be surely the only person who could do it. And of the same age. Good stack of black blue pills, you know.
And she's super honest, I think. She she said something along the lines of, when Lillian was like, oh, well, people would say that, wouldn't they? Lillian said, well, you know me, I'm not kind. I thought that was a brilliant line.
It was very, very well written and very, very well acted as well. The whole thing, I really enjoyed the whole thing. Royfield, I'm quite naive. What were those blue pills they were referring to?
I don't know, something that gives you super strength.
Superpowers.
Yeah, there you go. You know, I'm still on the Black Panther tip. So, that's what they do, Peter.
Okay, I mean, on that topic, I did love last week's episodes, but I did think the last bit really just accelerated wildly. It was
so unnecessary.
You know, it was a shame. It really was. It was like, great, great, great. And then there was the phone conversation between Lillian and Robert, where he was saying, you know, I don't want to hurt her, and what if I can't perform? And she went, I've got just the thing. Next thing, Linda going, what have I done? It all went wrong. Viagra. Blah. It's like, oh, no. It jumped far, far too quickly.
Mm. Couldn't Linda's agree many, more.
She's many, many things, but she's not that naive that she wouldn't understand that a man of a certain age might, you know, need a little...
Peter.
But it was at the wrongest of moments where she was feeling, I want to be appealing and attractive and turn someone on. And then he's like having to, in her mind, turn to chemicals to make that happen.
If they were having... If Robert had needed that beforehand, then it wouldn't have been an issue. That wouldn't have been the issue then, would it? I couldn't agree with Kerry Moore here. You know, it's the juxtaposition of the two together. But the one thing which I really got out of this was that I actually thought she was going to be scarred much more than she obviously is, because they made a point of saying that, yes, there's some scars, but she's healed quite well.
And hair loss on her neck. They refer to, you know, it's on her neck. She's got some hair loss, but... It's obviously not sort of, you know, sort of comprehensive disfigurement.
Well, and that's what I thought. That's the impression that I had after the fire in the kitchen and she was in hospital, because I made a whole thing about how she's going to be utterly reduced and this was not a way to have her go into a eventual dotage in the village, that this is going to be hideously disfigured and in effect disabled. But she's not that, you know, it hasn't been as severe as initially I thought, or at least I believe we're led to believe anyway, which is a good thing,
Because you would have to have people, I mean, even if it was, you know, you would, the other characters would have to make some comment on it. It would be perfectly natural. It's like when you said, Royfield, about a black family moving next door, you would say it would be weird for them not to comment on it. And if, you know, Chris has gone and seen Linda dropped off his 4-ton flower basket on the front lawn, leaving a kind of like, you know, a giant crater, then, you know, he would be making a comment to Alice or making a comment to someone else. It would be, you know, it would be unusual for people not to comment if she was, you know, very badly disfigured.
It's so sad though, isn't it? Because, you know, both of them are having psychological problems, aren't they?
That was the tension, wasn't it? That we were talking about, Kerry, the fact that they're so close to sorting it all out. All it would take was one frank conversation. I mean, I do take the point about the blue pills, but I think what I meant was that, yes, it's completely plausible that she would be upset. Oh, he's had to use a pill, but her sort of saying, I'll never, good job, he's in the shed. I might, you know, we might be done and I'll never talk to Lillian Bellamy again. I mean, that was just, it was a bit, the pendulum swung too far, is I think what I was trying to say. I can imagine, of course, you'd be upset.
But I think your, Kerry's initial point, I couldn't agree with more, is that it felt jarring to go from, bearing in mind that we've also had some level of conversation, but it went jarring to go from, right, so Robert set up, he's got his blue pills, and then Linda just going off on one. Her reaction, complete and utterly empathise with.
Yeah.
But we were robbed of that moment, weren't we? It could have been very sensitively done to have that conversation, of which then, you know, with the best will of intentions, then gets misconstrued. And dare I say, Robert's performance anxiety. He hinted at, well, he didn't hint at it, he said it, didn't he? For them to be a scene where he says, Lindy, Lindy, and with her just getting really upset would have been brilliant. And mm-hmm. it's actually what we needed. It's actually what we needed. But this just felt so wrong. I actually thought, have I missed an episode? I had to look at my podcast feed and say, well, wait a minute. I mean, there's only four episodes a week. I'm listening to all four, but surely there was a fifth here in between and I didn't hear it. And I had, seriously, I looked because I thought, this is odd.
I had the same experience, not literally, but sort of where I was kind of like, oh, and then it kind of the end of the four episodes came up and I was like, oh, that's just happened, has it?
Yeah, because Linda sort of described it in two or three sentences, really, didn't she? The whole thing, which was like, oh, no, what's happened? They've spoken behind my back, that she hated. The fact that he sort of ducked out of the room and she wondered why and then caught what he was up to. And then he was in the shepherd's hut and she was never speaking to either of them again, basically. It was really sort of terrible.
Lillian had already become an intimate confidant and part of their life. She'd already been there for Robert in a way that no one else had. I can understand the hurt. I can understand why she'd be angry, but the size of the reaction was just implausible, especially for someone like Linda, who is many things, but she's many wonderful things, and one of which is rational. She's a very rational woman, she can be quite.
No, mate. Listen, she's all of those things. She nearly lost her life. She's struggling with a level of disfigurement. Doesn't matter how severe or not that I think that it is. And she's worried that she's never going to be the same that she was again. And part of her healing process is that her husband still finds her attractive. I completely understand her reaction. My problem with the whole thing is the way that it was constructed in the writer's room. That's what I struggle with.
Editing or something. I think something went awry.
I completely understand the reason why she would lose it. The last thing I'll say about this is that they're in their 70s, late 60s, 70s. There is utterly no way. Well, first off,
Robert's 77.
Let's call this as it is, right? If you're a man of 77 and you don't need Viagra ever, wow. Well done, Robert Snell. Right, and
he's a man, not a mouse. That was very
there you go.
Clearly stated. Yeah,
right. That's that. Then number two, what 77-year-old doesn't pop two or three pills anyway for some little ailment here, a little ailment there? For Linda to walk in and see her husband, who is almost 80, pop a pill. You know, it shouldn't be a surprise anyway, because most healthy 70-year-olds pop a pill for this, pop a pill for that, blah, blah, blah.
Maybe that's why they call it magic time, because he doesn't need any pills.
I thought that Robert Snell would be kind of look a bit like me, sort of soft around the edges with sort of mousy hair and a kind of, you know, rather sort of average looking human being.
You thought he looked like Freddie Flintoff.
But before he gave up drinking, the sort of bloated Freddie Flintoff, yes.
No,
he's a Tom Selleck like. He's this kind of dark, brooding, athletic creature. That who's Linda's
the Hawaiian type. Shirt and a
the
top.
Hawaiian shirt, yeah. But that's Linda's type, and
type. I don't know if Robert fits that bill. He certainly doesn't in my mind when I hear him.
No, I never had to. Tom Selleck was about as far from what I imagined as possible.
Yeah.
We really should move on to emails, our Auntie Kerry Warburton. So at this point, I'll say, Auntie Kerry Warburton, are there any emails?
There is a giant email. Ooh. So this is exciting. We needed people to write in, and one of them did. and it's quite a big one. Let me find it. Sorry, I did think there was another call, and I was wrong about that. So it's caught me unawares. Here we go. Right, this is from Steve. He is a first-time emailer innerer. His Archer's credentials, he's Steve from Street in Somerset, which is near Glastonbury. He's a marketing manager for a local well-known outlet shopping centre, which I like because not many people do say what they're doing. He's been listening to The Archers since around 93. The big story was the robbery at the shop. So he's he's a pip.
Live Horobin when he stuck up the shop.
He did. Mm-hmm. So that was the year that Pip was born. He's been listening to our great podcast for just over 18 months. He's always listened to The Archers at an omnibus level. He likes listening on long car drives, dog walks, and so on. And it's made the whole week stories much more engaging to listen to them in one go. It's the way that he's continued to listen to the monologues and dialogues, and they certainly work better that way, as many others have said. He's got a couple of plot predictions. I always like these. He thinks Alice is going to spiral downwards in her condition until a major incident like a drunk hit and run, or she's just stopped for drunk driving. He says, if the scriptwriters want to make this a major storyline, perhaps she's going to hit someone like Kathy, which would be a way to get rid of a long-term silent character. Maybe she could plow into all the silents who've gathered around some sort of bus shelter or something. Or perhaps one of the Grundys knowing their run of bad luck, he says. It'll resurrect the Aldridge / Grundy feud that has been dormant since the eviction. If I had my choice, it'd be no Casher. Who would you, Kerry and Peter, want to see out of the show? Who'd we want to have run over by a drunken Alice?
There's a car touching competition. Susan's trying to get more ratings for her show. or maybe, and you know, you've got the no Casher, Russ, Helen, Pat, Tony, who else? Some of the children, just in case they turn into wrong-uns, all touching the car. along comes Alice, eating toast to try and get rid of her. She's obsessed with toast. Sorry, slight sideline.
Toast why did she call toast and marmalade old school?
But anyway, that would do it. Car touching competition. In she comes, ploughs through the side of the shopping centre and takes them all out. But nice. Russ first.
Okay, cool. He reckoned we'd all say Adam, by the way. he also says he'd really like the story to continue longer term for Philip and Kirsty, where we know the truth, but the residents of Ambridge don't.
Thank you. That's what I've been asking for.
It would make an intriguing twist in the storyline where the likes of perhaps Roy, Joy and Linda begin to uncover the truth bit by bit and the dilemma they have as individuals or even as a trio as to whether and how they tell Kirsty.
Also, Big Roy, you know, he's quite sort of strident, isn't he? But I sense that he's a bit of a coward when it comes down to it. I'd like to see him confront Philip, and then Philip basically to turn on him and basically, you know, it's like, you have no idea what you've got yourself into. You want to shut up. This is what I'm going to do to you. This is what I'm going to do to your family if you say a single thing. And that would be an interesting plot line to have going on to one side.
It would. He finishes with, keep up the good work, and the show with Sonny was brilliant. There was great humour and warmth throughout. Fabulous listening.
It was too good. I enjoyed and didn't enjoy listening to it.
Oh, Peter.
How could they? I was thinking. No, she was amazing. She was great. And I know this is a completely redundant and stupid thing to say, but I'm going to say it anyway. Obviously, we know that actors are acting, but it's always great to be reminded of that, just what a good job she's doing, especially when you heard her being Lillian this week and being so sort of, I'm not saying that she's not kind, but, you know, like acting so kind and acting so sort of involved and in touch.
Yeah.
Is that the end of the emails there, Auntie Kerry Warburton?
That was lovely, Steve. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Steve.
Can we just return to the toast very quickly? I'd really hope they stop trying this, but, you know, can she have a proper hangover cure? Can they just at least get that right? That when you've got a stinking hangover, you don't just need a slice of toast and then you bounce out of bed. You need grease. You need sugar.
Full English with a Coca-Cola.
Exactly. Cheeky double sausage neck muffin without the egg.
Right. And on that note, we're going to break, folks. We're going to have a little bit of a break. We're going to pay some bills around here. And we're going to come back the other side with Elsa, who's our new social media rounder-upper person.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Hi everyone, it's Elsa here with this week's social media roundup. This is my first week, but I'm really looking forward to getting to grips with being part of the Dumb to Dumb family. And if you want to know a bit more about me, there's some info on the website. Let's start off with Linda and Robert's predicament. Some of you love the raunchy storyline. Claire said, I absolutely loved it. It's the first time I've properly enjoyed The Archers for so long. However, Keith is bored. We still don't know if Ed is being kept on, which interests me more than if Linda gets her orgasm. I wonder, Keith, if you are similarly disinterested in whether the real women in your life get their orgasms. And it seemed a few of you enjoyed Pete's impression of Adam last week. Teresa was laughing like a madwoman whilst out walking listening to Dumpty Dum last week, as did Melly and Paula. We have seen a variety of opinions about Alice this week. Jan said, Alice's behaviour towards Ed was terrible, and then to see Ed to be so generous with her in his thoughts, what a guy. However, Hilary from Ambridge Addicts said, Alice has an illness. It doesn't matter how many people know until she realises it herself. Whatever you think of Alice, if you think her behaviour is deplorable, or if you're more sympathetic to a woman going through addiction, I think we can all agree that Holly Chapman is doing an amazing job in portraying such a complex storyline. Plot prediction time. Keith thinks Ed will tell Susan about Alice's drinking. That will certainly get the news out fast. Whereas Lillian thinks he should confide in Clary, which Andy agrees with. He said, she can keep her mouth shut when she needs to, and her judgment on anything except Will is generally pretty sound.
And finally, following on from Linda's sex life storyline, I asked you all what difficult storyline you might like to hear from the Archer scriptwriters, and I had some great answers. Lillian said, I would love them to write in a blind or disabled character and explore the rest of the villagers' attitudes and preconceptions about that character. There were replies for some fleeting characters, Jazz's possible brain damage, Brian's epilepsy, and someone back in the 1970s. However, with 16% of working age adults and 45% of adults over the state pension age in the UK having a long-term illness, impairment or disability, it feels like it's about time for another in Ambridge. Breastfeeding and cloth nappies were mentioned by Gail, with Claire adding that Fallon might try to parent in an eco-friendly way. And if the gossip is to be believed, we might not have to wait too much longer to see if that plays out. So that's it from me this week. I've been ignoring my four-year-old for long enough, so I better go and check if the front room is on fire. See you soon!
Elsa. Thank you for that. And it came in just under the wire. You're making me sweat, Elsa. It was like 2 o'clock today and I went, oh God, where is it? And it came in at just about 1 minute to 2. So well done, missus. You popped your cherry. You is part of the gang, and that's a social media roundup. And we'll see, and well, see, we'll hear you again in approximately 5 weeks' time. Right, now, just before we go on to Tweets of the Week, and I believe, Mr. Pete, haven't you done them this week?
No, I threw in the towel. I had to reach out to Kerry and say, because the thing is, I don't have. Kerry has a
Peter,
a
there's always an excuse.
I've got them. But
always an excuse.
Peter's got an enormously busy weekend. He it was hard for him to do this, so I've done it. But you've got to laugh.
Okay. So. Thank you, Kerry. Okay.
Well, I'm laughing now. Just a big shout out to the social media team who are doing great works over there and are somewhat just trying to find their way around dealing with people's notes and queries. And I did speak to Lillian, Sue and Sandra yesterday, and there was somebody did post, and it was a legitimate question, you know, why are the social media team including other forums? A few people said they actually like it just being that they just talk about dum-de-dum. And this is basically, it's my fault, folks. I've specifically said to them, let's go and mention other bits of the internet where Archer's fandom is kind of like big. And it's because, yes, fundamentally, we are a cozy community here at Dum-de-dum, but we should really include some of the other, I think anyway, some of the great comments, jokes, wheezes, insights, which other forums have on the Archers and stuff. You know, we don't claim to be the only set of Archers fans and stuff on the interweb. So that's the reason why the team have been mentioned in other forums. So if you don't like it, blame me. Don't have a go at them. They're only doing what I told them to do. Auntie Kerry Warburton, over to you. Tweets of the week. These are going to be smashing. I'm ready to laugh.
Okay. So this is Neil Wallington, who's at Dr. Wallington. And he said, to be fair, Alice's ringtone would drive me to drink. Now, you might not be able to remember
bad.
It.
Yes, it was.
It was like a xylophone thing.
It was,
like,
yes.
Yeah. So that was good. I like this from John Porter, who is at Pie and a Pint. He said, blimey, the sound effects chap is working overtime today. Hard to achieve that sound of a blacksmith's anvil with just two halves of coconut. And then there was, oh, I like this one. It's a bit rude. Is that okay?
Mm-hmm.
This is two people tweeting each other. Let Love Win Esquire. They tweeted, Robert, get a grip, man. And Furnace Girl replied, preferably on Linda's tits.
Oh.
Which I rather liked. And Tweet of the Week. That could have been Tweet of the Week. Anyway, this is Tweet of the Week. This is from at Cuts Rich, which is Rich Cuts. I've used him before, but hey. He made a joke, basically. He said, there was a theft of Viagra pills in Manchester the other day. The police are on the lookout for a gang of hardened criminals.
Well done. Well,
I'm just
done.
Curious what farmyard noise Royfield's going to use to bleep out your sweary Maryness.
Tits are fine.
Well, specifically and generally, yes. But
yes, this exactly.
Royfield, I mean, are you going to, is that going to be, is there going to be a
I'm
a
not
sort of
the
centre-in-chief.
No, no, I'm going to let that go. I'm going to let that go. Yeah. I think we're all grown up enough.
Yeah.
And also, if someone's got this far into the podcast, you know.
They deserve a tits. Okay.
Yeah.
We all deserve tits, I think.
dumdydum.com, folks, go there. It's got a whole smorgasbord of things you can do. You can go and comment on past shows. You can read Cosmo's podcast roundups. Oh yes, you can. You can look at Mike Hatton and his character counts. And I've given up trying to get him on the show because he obviously is not at all interested. However, he listens to every podcast, he messages, and he posts on the message board, and he contributes to the whole world, the whole kit and caboodle that is Dum-de-dum. So, Mike Hatton, I salute you, though you are the Dum-de-dum silent. So you can do that. You can also go on to our shop, our store, and get yourself a mug, a T-shirt, or whatever. When I've got some time, this will happen approximately 2 months before Christmas. I'm going to take everything down in the store and then redo it again in time for Christmas. So if you're thinking to yourself now, because I know a lot of people are dusty substances, you're one of them. I saw on a thread somewhere that you're doing your Christmas list. And somebody said, Dusty, it's still August. And she says, I'm organized. So there's a lot of you dum-de-dums out there. You're pretty organized people. Right. So don't think that you can't include a dum-de-dum present on your Christmas list for a loved one. A nice little mug that says, I'm part of the Peter Ficklin fan club. Or I like to get close to Auntie Kerry Warburton. Maybe that could be put on a T-shirt. All these and more will be on our new store. So so don't think that we won't be looking at you to help put a little bit of shekel in our coffers by you going on to the dumdydum.com/shop store to go and get yourself some goodies. So that's that, dumdydum.com. Now, one way which you can really utterly help this podcast is by going on to Apple iTunes and writing a review. Now, if you think we're terrible, we're shite, well, be gentle. Maybe say it in a constructive way so I can read that review and go, I can learn from that. This is what they've said. Peter maybe needs to talk less All right, so Peter's obviously gone. There's no reply from Peter.
I'm just doing as I'm told.
Someone has just told me. Peter spoke more, to be honest.
Oh okay. Oh, well, God. I mean, that's disappointing, but I can live with that. I've heard that feedback from other forums.
You've heard nothing of the sort, sir. Stop it. If you want to put the boot in, that's all good, but be positive with it. No. Constructive, that's the word. Be constructive with it. And if you just like the podcast, say you like the podcast, and that'd be awesome. But go onto Apple iTunes, write a review, because the thing is about reviews, it means that more people get to hear about us, because we go back up those podcast charts, and we did get all the way to number 3 once, and that was awesome, and we'd like to go back up there again. So write us a review. Another way which you can help and support this podcast is by going on to patreon.com. And I know quite a few of you have done that, and that is most awesome. Basically, for $2 per show, you are somebody who, you know what, on cold wintry nights, Peter, Kerry and I dream of just cuddling up to you and thanking you for being going that extra mile from being, not only a fan of Dum-de-dum, but somebody who contributes. So if you want a special cuddle from Peter, or from Kerry, go on to patreon.com, $2 per show, and you never know, you might get that special cuddle. Another way of which you can also show your fervent, ultra-like behaviour in terms of your fanaticism for Dum-de-dum is by going on to Twitter and putting the international sign of bunting next to your name. Some people call it the flag of the country of Nepal, a proud country which has a history going back eons and whatever, but I like to see it as the international sign for bunting, which means you're a dum-de-dummer. And eventually, one day, I will think of a really good reason why, if you do that, good things will happen to you. But right here and now, it'll just give you a lovely, warm, fuzzy feeling. And the lovely thing is about it as well, when you then go on the internet and you're talking about the Archers and you see that somebody's got the sign, the international sign of Bunting next to the name, you go, ah, they're one of us. So if you just want that it's like being like part of the, who do the people give those funny handshakes and stuff?
The Masons.
There you go. I was going to say the Mormons, but it's the Masons. Right? It's basically, it's like being a Mason, having the inside track, you know, just like tapping the side of
that
your nose.
That sales pitch went off a cliff.
Yeah, I know. Oh, God.
Be like a Mason.
Anyway.
Peter. When's the last time you wrapped up the show? You excited and exalted the listeners to basically do stuff. It's a hard job. And you know what? I've done it 340 odd times, sir.
The size of the cliff that you fell off showed how high you climbed. That's the point.
Fair dues. I'll take that. I'll take that.
I wasn't expecting it, I have to say. But anyway.
Well, all right. Instead of the Masons, it's like going to one of those special West End kind of like clubs where only the rich and the famous go, you know, like Soho House or, you know, the Groucho, where, you know, you walk down a street, you don't even notice the door until you see Idris Elba walk out of it. And you said, I've walked down this street for years. I didn't even know there was a door there. And all of a sudden, you just see Madonna just like exit or enter a door. That's what having the international sign for Bunting next to your name does. It means that you are one of the elite. Not one of the hoi polloi, one of the elite. You are someone who's super cool. Is that a little bit better, Peter?
Yes, much better, thank you.
Smashing. Ooh, right, Auntie Kerry Warburton, would you like to do the next bit?
I will. Remember to get in contact. You can send us a voice message via SpeakPipe on the website or call 0203 031 3105 to leave a message or send a text message starting with DUM to 077 862 00690.
I don't know. I really should hand this bit of the show over to Peter, really, I reckon. But I'll give this another go. Right, but that Peter, from next week, maybe you can do this bit because I know you like Twitter, don't you?
Yes.
I'm not so in love with Twitter. I think it's a necessary evil, but like I think you get real enjoyment from it, as does Auntie Kerry Warburton.
I do.
But Kerry's good at it. That's why I hesitated.
I don't know about that.
Oh, you are.
Yeah, you are funny on a variety of topics, and also consistent. That's the other thing. Mm-hmm. I think it's, you know, everyone can come up with a, you know, a tweet that sort of gets you a few hundred likes, but you know you're getting them with metronomic frequency.
A few hundred. When's the last time you did a tweet that had a few hundred likes, Peter?
I don't know.
A few hundred.
A few hundred. I've had one or two of them.
Really?
I mean, that's not that amazing, is it?
Oh, okay. I struggle to get past 20 myself, which shows you how poor I am on Twitter. It's the reason why I don't like it.
This is how you get a tweet with a few hundred likes, Royfield. You at Kerry, and then she retweets it, and then you get a few hundred likes.
I don't know. It depends on the quality.
I'll give that a whirl some point next week. Well, folks, Twitter. It is the platform which put together the essential elements, which then became known as the compound that is dum-de-dum. So it was a bit of this and a little bit of that, a little bit of snark, but, you know, wrapped up in fun, all around love of the Archers, a thing which we similarly love, but sometimes it does not frustrate the hell out of us. Those were the elements on Twitter, which then came together to create Dum-de-dum, the podcast. And if you'd like to follow us on Twitter, you can follow us where we are at Dum-de-dum. Now, Auntie Kerry Warburton, how can people follow you on Twitter?
I'm not at Kerry Warburton I'm at Kerry Warbis, K-E-R-I-W-A-R-B-I-S.
Super Dad Fickling, how can people follow you on Twitter?
It's at Pete Fickling.
Oh, smashing. Somebody did say, I think it was Drew from Hamilton, on the Flick app, big up to the Flick app posse. He did actually say, Royfield, you keep on calling Kerry Warburton. I think you're making a mistake on the podcast. And I had to say, nah, I think it was Jack.
Aww.
I think it's like it's really, oh,
I was called loads of different things, wasn't I?
All of them lovely, but just incorrect. You know? Yeah,
that's fine.
But I kind of quite like it. To me, she's Auntie Kerry Warburton. And then if you want, oh, there's no point following me. So let's move on from that. And then there's Facebook. And yes, you will know that I do rail against Facebook because I do think that it is one of the most evil things invented in the 21st century. And if you want Russian interference in our democracies, if you want the end of civil discourse, if you want to give oxygen to extremists, Facebook is the place to go. Yeah, he's so batting for the wrong side. That's twice now, really, that man. But anyway, moving swiftly on. Facebook's got a lot to answer for, but a lot of people get comfort and succor from putting up images of their loved ones, and also it does bring people together. Old school friends get reunited via Facebook, old lovers even, so it does. Your old nan, you haven't seen because of the pandemic, you contact her through Facebook. So I'm not ragging on it completely. One of the lovely bits of Facebook is Dum-de-dum. You can go onto there, type in Dum-de-dum, and you can be part of some 500 people who have migrated over from the old page to the new group. The new group is awesome. The admins are doing a wonderful job. Go and spread light and love throughout the world by going on to Dum-de-dum on Facebook. There's no extremist chat. There's nobody dog whistling about misogyny or racism. It's just all nice stuff. Around the arches, go on to Dum-de-dum on Facebook. Of course, there is the Flick app. If you want Dum-de-dum in your pocket, hang out with some pals. What you do is you go onto your smartphone app store of choice and you type in Flick. You get the app, you download it. Don't be bamboozled if it basically says it's a sport app or sports app if you're American. It's us. Just download that. When you get it, type in Dum-de-dum. Bish, bosh, bang. A whole new world opens up to you where Melly's on there and a whole lovely set of characters who witter away to each other all day, every day about stuff. I quite like stuff. Do you like stuff, Kerry?
I do. I really like stuff, especially malted barley, which has accidentally been mixed with wheat, which is then sold for... successfully for pig feed, but for a lesser amount of money than could have been gleaned.
So if you want to be like Leslie 000S or let me see who else, Red Agnes is on there. Everybody loves a bit of Red Agnes. Or Caroline P, who is now in Australia. Get yourself onto the Flick app and maybe you can join a poll. You can post a picture of where you are or do something else on there. Everyone's welcome as long as you're a Dum-de-dummer. Now, it calls upon me to wrap up this podcast and I'm going to do it like this. Peter, yeah. You are somebody who I love a lot. I said as such on WhatsApp the other day, didn't I? I said, Peter, I love you. Yeah, do you remember?
Yes, I do. It's very nice.
Yeah. Well, I'm just going to say it again. Peter?
Yes?
I love you, Peter.
I love you too, Royfield.
Kerry?
Yes?
I've never said this to you before.
Oh.
But I love you too.
Oh, my God. This is nice.
I know the pair of you don't really want me in your gang, right? But I still love you regardless.
Thank you. Well, I love you, Royfield, and I love you, Peter.
Thank you both for being part of Dum-de-dum this week. I know, Kerry, you've got somewhere to go.
I have my taxi approaches right now. I'm going off to book club.
Smashing. You enjoy book club. Peter, enjoy the little one. Enjoy family life. The little one won't be little forever, so savour every moment.
I'm trying to, and actually I have to say one of the pleasures of Dumpty Dum is getting sort of some sage parenting advice from two more experienced folk. That's you two, by the way.
Yeah, who
Thank
are
you
these
for clarifying.
People?
Okay, folks, that's been us. This has been Dumpty Dum. It ended up by being a love-in. It didn't really start out that way. I got a kick in at the start of the show, but you know, I let it wash over me. I'm thick-skinned. I'm resilient. I'll be back here 7 days' time for another Dumpty Dum.
Bye, folks. My taxi's here.
Bye-bye.
Y'all sitting up here comfortable. Must feel good. It's about 2 billion people all over the world that looks like us. But their lives are a lot harder. Wakanda has the tools to liberate them all.
And what tools are those?
Vibranium. Your weapons.
Our weapons will not be used to wage war on the world. It is not our way to be judge, jury, and executioner for people who are not our own.
Not your own. But didn't life start right here on this continent? So ain't all people your people?
I am not king of all people. I am king of Wakanda. And it is my responsibility to make sure our people are safe and that vibranium does not fall into the hands of a person like you.
Forever.